Welcome to Design 30. My name is Jason Bilyeu, and in this podcast, I provide design strategies and tools to improve creativity, innovation, and overall design confidence. Welcome back to Design 30. It has been a really, really long time. What has it been? It's been months. So much has happened, maybe even half a year. Big changes happening on my side of things. I've moved to a completely new state, new city. As you might be able to tell if you're watching the video, that I'm in a new studio, aka a new office. So the background is a little bit different. And yeah, it's just been, it's been crazy. There's been a lot of good things going on. I got a new job, moved to the Denver area. So out of Montana into Colorado, which I've lived here before, so it hasn't been too big of a change, but still big things happening. Been adapting to the new area, getting moved in, getting comfortable. So this podcast, unfortunately, has just been something that I haven't had the time to work on, but now I'm feeling settled and ready to kind of dive back into hopefully making some really interesting design podcasts. So still Design 30. It's still going to be the same Design 30 that you know if you are a regular listener. I'm working hard to provide interesting content and useful content. I think there's a lot of content out there that is more just clickbait and maybe is interesting for a little while. But I'm really hoping to provide information that you can reference years from now, information that is going to help you maybe look at the world a little differently, look at the way things around you are designed, maybe help you with your work, depending on what field you're in. So my hope is that it will be really interesting ideas and concepts that you can actually apply in your everyday life, or maybe it is just something you're learning on the side and it's just fun to listen and learn new ideas. So either way, whatever you are here for, I'm glad you're listening, glad you're watching. All of this is going to be posted on X. I'm really trying to put a lot more on that social media site. I think there's a lot of cool things happening. There's a lot of cool ideas around content creation and profit sharing, things like that. So that's where you can find all of this. This podcast video will be right there on X. Of course, it will also be on YouTube and Spotify, not as video on Spotify, just the audio. So in all the normal locations, you'll be able to find this. But yeah, we're back. Design 30 is back. And for this first, not my first, but this first reintroductory video and episode, I want to talk about something called Hick's Law. And so this is a concept I read about again in this book, which I've talked about a lot, Universal Principles of Design. Again, highly recommend it. It's just really, really good bite-size ideas about design, and it's a good jumping off point to just kind of give yourself more breadth when it comes to design concepts and ideas. And it's really good. It's really interesting. So this week, I want to talk about Hick's Law. And Hick's Law is, it's basically this idea that the time it takes to make a decision, and this is something we probably all have experienced, maybe we just didn't know there's a name for it, but the time it takes to make a decision is directly correlated to or directly increases with the number of, how do they phrase it, the number of alternatives, the number of things that you can choose from, the number of options you have, right? I think we've all experienced this potentially when we're, well, if you're me and you're going to buy, let's say, flowers for an anniversary, something like that. The more flowers there are, the harder it is to choose some. And you don't know exactly what kind is going to be the best, which ones are going to last the longest, which ones are going to go with the look of your house. And just the more and more options there are, you kind of get more and more overwhelmed. But this idea of Hick's Law is actually, it applies in situations like that. But it's more about situations where something quick is happening and you need to make a decision rather quickly in a scenario where you can't take a lot of time or where it doesn't require a lot of time to kind of analyze the situation. So I think a good example of this would be when you're driving. Okay, so let's say you're driving down the interstate, you know, going 75, 80 miles an hour if you're in Montana, high speed limits there. And so you're going very fast. Decisions have to be made fairly quickly. And let's say you know where your exit is, you get off on your exit, but then all of a sudden there's multiple options once you're off on that exit where you can go straight, you can go to the right, you can veer to the left. Maybe to the right, there's also multiple lanes that you have to choose from. So all of a sudden you have just a matter of seconds to make a decision. Which direction am I supposed to go? And so you have to quickly look at all the different signs and where they tell you that you're headed, which street you're looking for. And all this has to happen rather fast. And so in this example, you can see how, okay, let's say you get off on your exit and there's two options. All right, you look real quick, you see one sign for First Street, other sign is for Jefferson Street, and you're like, all right, I need to go to First, done. Then you think, okay, what if there's three potential options, straight, right, or left? What if there's four, slightly right, or completely right, or slightly left, and then completely left, and then straight, right? All of a sudden, the number of options starts to grow and grow and grow. And you can see how this would just take longer to make a decision. And so we all intuitively kind of understand this, but there's also an equation, which if you're mathematically minded, anytime there's an equation, then you're like, yes, okay, I can actually put some real numbers to this. So there is an equation that you can use to estimate how much time this is actually going to take somebody. And then you can use that to compare different designs. For example, if you are designing an off-ramp or an exit on an interstate, you can use this to help figure out, okay, how many options should we have? How much time do people have to make this decision based on how fast they're going? A lot of different things. You could apply it to a lot of different situations. Driving is just a really easy one to picture. So the equation is, let me grab my notebook here. We won't go super in-depth on this equation. I'll make another video where I sketch this out on my whiteboard, so be looking for that. But the equation for now is RT, which is just whatever your response time is, so that's the time it takes you to make a decision, is equal to the A plus B log base 2 with the N, the log base 2 of N. And so that's probably sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, unless you're someone who likes math. Basically, it's equal to the total time not involved directly with the decision making. So for example, when you're driving, you would take the amount of time it takes to determine that you have to take the exit, right? So maybe that's 2 seconds. Okay, so that's what A is going to equal, just this 2 seconds. You know your exit's coming, you see it, and you make the decision to pull off on that exit. Okay. And then it's plus B log base 2 of the number of options, N. B is a number that is determined experimentally. When it comes to humans making decisions quickly, a good number that has been determined empirically and that this book talks about is 0.155 seconds. So it's just a little bit of time for a human to kind of scan through options and be able to cognitively understand what that option means. Okay, so you take that number and then you multiply by this log base 2 of the total number of options. And without going through all the math in this video, you can see as the number of options N increases, this total response time is also going to increase. So again, that's kind of straightforward, just we all know from experience that this is a thing, but it's nice to have an equation that you can actually put some numbers to it if you're designing something where this is rather important. And like I said, I'll whiteboard this all out in a separate video and kind of show you some examples of how the numbers work out. But that just kind of gives you a feel for, okay, yeah, this is legitimate. I feel like anytime there's actually an equation with it, it helps provide a little bit of legitimacy. And it's something that you should consider when you are designing things. And this could go for all sorts of different fields, whether it's UX design, UI design, again, designing interstates, if you're designing hand tools or outdoor camping tools, how many options does your product really need? And what are the benefits of that, right? And so this also dovetails really nicely with another design concept, which is something you will most likely be familiar with, and that is Occam's razor, which can be applied to design. And so the idea of Occam's razor, I mean, we all kind of know this. It's usually, if you apply it to something like an explanation, if there's an explanation for something happening, Occam's razor says, like, usually it's the simplest explanation that is most likely to be true. Not always the case, but it's just kind of a nice rule of thumb or heuristic to use when trying to figure out why something happened or how something happened. But you can also use it in design. And of course, this book also talks about that. And I think they give a really good description of this. And then they also have some really interesting and fun quotes that go along with it. So they describe Occam's razor for design as the choice, or given a choice between functionally equivalent designs, the simplest design should be selected. So what does that mean? Essentially what they're saying is, if you have two designs that functionally both accomplish the same thing, they're both functionally complete, go with the simpler design. And this does sound maybe self-explanatory or obvious, but anyone who's been a designer for a long time knows it's really easy to allow more complexity to drift into your design. Maybe there is like one other function that you think you can squeeze in by adding an extra feature. But if that function actually isn't necessary, if a lot of your customers don't need that function, or maybe they'll never use it, don't include it. You're just adding more complexity that isn't necessary, that's not required to be functional. And so that's what this concept of Occam's razor in design is saying. If you get to the point where you have two functionally equivalent designs, go with the simpler one, okay? And so that also kind of goes back into this Hick's law, where if you reduce the number of options, which is kind of simplifying that design, you're also going to speed up the decision-making time for your users, which often is beneficial. Obviously, it depends on the situation that you're, or the context that your design will be used in, but overall, a simpler design is going to be better. So those are the two main concepts I wanted to introduce in this quick episode. It's great to be back. It's great to be recording again, and I hope to be interacting with people again. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear what you guys think could be done to make this better, to talk about ideas and concepts that you're interested in. All of that is just, it's something I look forward to. So that's it for this episode. Remember, it's Hick's Law, it's Occam's Razor being applied to design, and I will be recording a video with a little bit more detail on this equation that you can use for Hick's Law, and I think that will also help really drive the point home. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. As always, remember, design more, despair less. Thanks for watching.